Hello, and welcome to another bonus episode of the Holistic Trauma Healing Podcast that is exclusively available to you as a Circle member. These episodes are a deeper dive down the holistic trauma healing rabbit hole. You will find yourself challenged, empowered, inspired, and maybe even a little bit uncomfortable. But remember, we're getting to the root of how trauma has affected every aspect of your existence, and that's not always quick or easy. By being part of the Trauma Healer Circle, you are already consciously creating your best possible reality and weaving a new web of life that isn't ruled by the past. I'm so honored you're in my circle. Hello, Circle. Welcome to your second bonus episode for January 2022. I have a guest for this episode. It's not just me, so that's exciting. And before I dive into this episode, I just want to share a quick announcement. So tomorrow, February 1st, I am teaching the Nervous System 101 workshop. Several of you have attended that workshop, and I'm so honored that you've been part of it. And that's not what this announcement is about. This announcement is about what's coming after that. So also beginning tomorrow, I am opening the doors to a brand new group program that I have never done before called Nervous System Hygiene. And I want to extend an invitation to you as a member of the circle to attend or be a part of Nervous System Hygiene for the discounted rate. So the discounted rate is $333. The normal price is $555. So it's a 40% discount. And I'm only offering this discount to people outside of the circle who have bought a Nervous System 101 workshop ticket either in the past or currently. But for you, since you're a member of the circle and I like to give you guys perks whenever I can, I'm offering this 40% discount whether or not you have purchased or attended the Nervous System 101 workshop. So I'll quickly tell you what Nervous System Hygiene is. So my objective with this program is coming off of weeks of sharing my own Nervous System Hygiene practice, which is a daily practice that I do that I compare to like an oral hygiene practice. So I take care of my teeth every day. I don't just brush my teeth and floss my teeth whenever I have a cavity. I do it every day for prevention and maintenance of my oral health. And nervous system stuff is the same way. You have a nervous system. You have to take care of it every day. You don't just want to take care of it when you're in a moment of crisis. So nervous system hygiene is going to teach you, so far, 12 is what I have, but I'm sure more will come up, 12 new nervous system regulating tools. Now, these are not tools like meditation or breath work or cold plunges. You're familiar with those tools. I don't feel like I need to teach them to you because you can find them on YouTube or other people on Instagram or even your therapist. And of course, you can get my free cold plunge training, which I'll link to below if you're interested in trying that. But in nervous system hygiene, I wanted to do 8 to 12 totally new nervous system regulating tools that I haven't talked about on the podcast or demonstrated on Instagram. And that's what I'm going to be teaching in this group program. I've also included a nervous system hygiene tool assessment form that you can print out and use every time you try one of the tools that I demonstrate in the program so that you can assess if it's a good fit for you. The only way you're going to know if you want to add a tool to your nervous system hygiene practice is to try the tools out and see how they feel in your body. And if it feels like a yes, if it feels like a no, if it causes you any kind of pain or discomfort or even emotional discomfort, what the state of your nervous system was in before you tried the tool and what state was your nervous system in after you tried the tool. So all of these are questions that you can use to assess whether or not you feel like the tool I demonstrate is something that you would enjoy and love enough to add to your own nervous system hygiene practice. And then by the end of the four-week program, you'll have these 12 or so nervous system regulating tools that you can almost use like a menu. It's almost like I'm teaching you how to create your own four-course or five-course meal, and every tool that I'm sharing is an item on the menu. And then at the end of the program, you can choose the three or four or five tools that you love the most and that were the most useful to you, and piece together your own nervous system hygiene practice that you can do every day as a way of showing up for yourself, getting into your body, reestablishing that connection with your body, and regulating your nervous system. And having a daily practice is going to make nervous system work familiar. And as you all know, if something isn't familiar to your nervous system, then it doesn't feel safe. And that's why trying to regulate your nervous system only in moments of crisis or panic or stress is so much less effective than a daily or regular practice of regulating your nervous system, especially if you're not in a dysregulated place. So you're becoming familiar with the tools. And then when you are in a moment of crisis, then it's familiar to reach for those tools because you have practice with them. Whereas if you don't have practice with them, you might find yourself on your phone, like feverishly searching for a YouTube guided meditation or a TikTok video to help you stop your panic attack. And that's just not going to be as effective for you as practicing and experimenting with different regulating tools, finding what feels good in your body, and then creating your very own practice for yourself. So, because you're a member of the circle, I would like to extend an invitation that you can join Nervous System Hygiene at the 40% discount of $333. You will have lifetime access to the course materials. In addition to weekly videos, there's also going to be a weekly group coaching call. So if you enjoy our circle Zoom calls, then this will be a way for you to connect with others in a group, as well as receive individualized support from me with the rest of the group watching and being able to benefit from the coaching and support I'm giving you. So four weeks of video lessons every Monday, four group coaching calls every Thursday, and lifetime access to all the course materials. So that's my perk that I'm sharing with you, my circle members. You have until February 10th to take advantage of this special offer. And I'm sure I will offer nervous system hygiene again in the future. But like I said, this is the first time I've run it. So depending on how it goes, if it doesn't go well, then I won't offer it again. And if it does go well, then I probably will. But I just wanted to extend an invitation for you to be able to join this group program for the 40% off price of $333, even if you have never purchased a ticket or attended the Nervous System 101 workshop. And that is all I have for you. Now let's dive into this bonus episode. I will introduce my guest, Amanda Monnier, in just a moment, but I want to tell you what we're discussing in this episode. So we're talking about Amanda's transformation and transition from law enforcement to energy and spiritual work. We're also discussing the dark night of the soul, and we both share our own individual journeys with that. We discuss nervous system work as a spiritual practice and our perspective on spiritual bypassing. We talk about the reunification of our own masculine and feminine essences. We discuss healing as a form of bypassing, which is a really interesting topic. We also share how our relationships are catalysts for our healing and how they give us opportunities to heal in ways that we wouldn't have had otherwise. We talk about individual healing having a ripple effect into the collective, almost like every time an individual person heals, it's like a little pebble going into the big collective pond and making a ripple and affecting the entire collective. And we discuss unsubscribing from hierarchy and gurus. So this is a really lovely chat with Amanda Monnier, and I will have links to how you can follow her and work with her if you're interested below in the notes. Enjoy. So my guest today is Amanda Monnier, and I want to tell you some about her before we dive into our interview. Amanda was put on this earth to support people in waking up and remembering who they are. She empowers her clients and helps them heal from the inside out, break ancestral patterns, and shift into the fullest embodiment of who they are at a soul level. Amanda is an energy healer, a certified energetic allergy healing practitioner, certified magnetic mind coach, a yoga teacher, an emotion code practitioner, a certified transformational nutrition coach, and she holds a bachelor's in psychology. She assists her clients in healing old wounds and up-leveling to the highest soul-aligned version of themselves. Amanda is a woman on a mission to create a movement of healed, intuitively connected humans, people who are truly aligned with their heart and soul, creating a life on their terms and passionately unleashing their gifts into the world. Amanda, welcome to the podcast. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Lindsay. Thank you so much for having me. I'm very excited and grateful to be here with you today.
I mean, I think of all of my guests I've ever had on the show, your list of like certifications and credentials might be the longest one yet. So that's really impressive.
Well, thank you. It all constantly changes and I'm constantly learning. So, you know, very, I'm a student of life.
Yeah, you're very well-rounded. That's for sure. I love it. So let's just dive in and talk about, like, you used to be a law enforcement officer and now you do all of this energy work and spiritual work and all of that. How did that happen?
Yes. So I was a probation officer. I did that for about 6 years. And during my time there, I had my spiritual awakening, if you will. I had just gotten out of a relationship. We got to love our relationships for being our catalysts for growth. So I've learned to appreciate them, even though sometimes it really can suck. But I had broken up with a boyfriend and I had noticed that the patterns, it was like I kept ending up at the same place and like the same emotions and the same pain kept being brought to the surface. And this time was different because this was a very special person. And it was just a situation that just brought me to my knees. Like I was just, it was like the darkness had all come to the surface and I could not hide from this anymore. So, as I'm in this, field, I had started to really just bring some more awareness and really started to ask a lot of questions because it's like we only know what we're told and you know, the human being is such a highly programmable. It's so crazy how programmable we are. And when we really start to like peel back the layers and ask questions and go dive inward. And my journey was kind of more that external, started with that very external search of like, well, you know, I'm just going to read all these books and go to all these courses and just kind of really like asking questions just about the way the world works, because there was something missing for me as I had felt for many years. And so I feel that this was just like the universe's way of like really kind of jolting me into this like place of the journey I was about to embark on, because I never would have expected things to turn out the way they did. So that was like a couple years into my career as a law enforcement officer. So as I'm like navigating this very masculine field, like very masculine field, because that was for me how I stayed safe, is I was in like a very unhealthy masculine energy, because it was all I, it was how like throughout my childhood and things that I stayed safe was being in my masculine, because being in my feminine wasn't safe and my nervous system was all out of whack. And, you know, I just didn't understand these things. So as I continued to like allow this to unfold, I knew like there was like, it was like about 2 years before I left, I was like, And this was a big thing for me because I had loved this career and I was like, I'm never leaving. And so like, I was like, oh my gosh, I know I'm not going to be here forever. I know there's something bigger. I know there's something I'm meant to step into. And so I continued to just kind of like follow the nudges. And I ended up leaving law enforcement, which was a process in and of itself, because it's like, you know, the ego and the unconscious is like, no, what are you doing? You're leaving like a pension and, you know, all these, the benefits and the security that we're told, right? We're told to like, basically we grow up and we enter into the system, if you will. And, you know, we show up every day and we get our paycheck and that's that, and we get a couple of days off a week. And I just wasn't having it anymore. So sidestepped over actually to my family's business and did that for all of about like 3 months, where I was just like, okay, no, this is not it. Like I literally like, I was like still kind of avoiding like going all in. And once I realized that, I decided to just go for my healing business and really just allow like the unraveling of this process and not having to know everything and not having to have control over everything. Cause that's another way that I would, being in my masculine all the time, like I love to have control over stuff. So it has been over a year now to where I fully like disconnected from all of that. I sold my home, I moved, and it's just been another level and layer of this journey. So that is just kind of like a very condensed version, but it's definitely been a very humbling experience.
Yeah. Well, so I don't know if you've seen the memes that circle around where it's like the person on the roller coaster and they're like holding on to the bar, you know, that kind of holds you into the roller coaster cart, but they're like holding onto the bar and their mouth is like open and they look like they're about to puke. And then next to them is like the calm, like parent or whatever. And it, up above the parent, it says my guides. And then above the person on the roller coaster, who's freaking out on the roller coaster, it's like me. And then the meme is like, this is what a spiritual awakening is. Is that an accurate description for you? Was it very difficult? Was it like a dark night of the soul? Was it a process of just like all of these things falling away and like you not even knowing what to hold on to anymore? Or was it, you know, what people think a spiritual awakening is like, which is like a yoga retreat and like very zen and all of that? What was that process like for you?
Oh, that the meme is very accurate, first of all. And second of all, it was tumultuous as hell. So multiple bouts of dark night of the soul. I actually just had another one last year, and I'm coming out of that and it's feeling very integrative, because to me, like what dark night of the soul is, it's a death. It really is a death. And so it's a death of that identity. It's a death of all the lies and all the stories we subscribe to about ourselves, about the world. And it's just allowing this to fall apart and fall away. And that is something that I've noticed, because I kind of caught into at one point the whole like love and light only. Like I mean, I can appreciate if that actually works for people, but for me, like I had to, because the way I look at things is everything is like the polarity and the balance is so necessary. And we can't have the one without the other, at least initially, if we have a lot of experiences that was trauma eliciting, or you know, that those shadow aspects, because it's something that we oftentimes like to bypass and avoid, and it's like I can appreciate positivity, right? Like I'm all about it. I teach conscious creation and you know, like opening a heart and all that good stuff, but at the same time, I have found, at least for my process, I've had to allow these things to come up, and some of them have been extremely painful, because it's not only happening at an emotional level. For me, it's been a physical level, a cellular level, because we're releasing all of these things, and it's everything is so intertwined. So we can't have one without the other, and we can't just like, you know, move into these spaces because of like what it is we want, most of us, at least I will say, without acknowledging the density, the, because it's like, it's a frequency, right? And so we can't fake energy. We can say, you know, oh, I choose this and this and this, but yet we continue, manifesting the same experiences because we're little human magnets. And when we have this dense, dark energy inside of us, it's, something that, it's not, we can't bypass these things. And a lot of it is the inner child stuff, that I, at least I found for me and my clients, these inner child wounds. And so I think we also make it a little more difficult than it really needs to be, because it's just allowing like that nurturing and that healing to happen. And sometimes it's so simple as just holding space, like we would hold space for a child, but yet we are like, okay, well, I'll deal with you later. Well, it's still there, whether you want to say it's like in the body or in your energy field or what, however you want to explain it, but it's still present. And I found that it's like, these things just don't go away on their own. So,
yeah. So that is something that I come across a lot in my work, is for me, there is not a distinction between the nervous system work and the spiritual practice. For me, nervous system regulation is a spiritual practice, but for a lot of people, spiritual practice feels like, bypassing, or it feels like love and light, or it feels like, oh, I just have to be positive. And then that gets into like, you know, what we call like toxic positivity and all that kind of stuff. So I'm curious what your perspective is on, you know, working on ourselves on a body level, a cellular level, the inner child, like all the things that you just mentioned. And also, why is that a spiritual practice for you? And, or how is it a spiritual practice for you if it is? And how do you deal with people who call what you do spiritual bypassing, even though you know deep within yourself, like this isn't spiritual bypassing, like this is the work. And how do you distinguish between the actual work and spiritual bypassing? I'm sorry, I'm asking a lot of questions about this. I don't know if it's confusing or not.
I love this conversation and I think it's so important, and I'll try to touch on all the questions. Let me know if I'm missing something, but I 100% agree with you on the nervous system piece and breath work as well. And this body work, because at the end of the day, if we don't feel safe to be here and we don't feel safe in our bodies and my breath and breathing has been something that I've really been cultivating, because the breath is all about receiving, right? So if we don't have like that regulation around the body, as well as like we're doing all this, like, you know, moving energy, releasing energy, whatever, but if we don't feel safe to like be here and our nervous system is like, you know, either the fight, the flight, or the freeze, like if there's an aspect of us that's frozen in time, if you will, like a part of our inner child, because we want this one mono personality working with like our higher self, our own source connection, in this like very harmonious, beautiful way. But when we have these events that happen that elicit trauma, what can happen is some people call it like soul fragmentation. I speak of it like part personality type stuff. And I truly believe this is actually where mental health issues come from, is because we have these different parts that break off the main personality, because this part's like, holy crap, it's not safe. You know, like for example, like maybe, there's something that happens as a little girl, like, and it's like, oh gosh, men aren't safe. Or, you know, at the time that was absolutely necessary for that person, right? So I want to make that distinction too. It's like, in order for them to be safe in that moment as that child with the tools they had, maybe with their caregivers were not able to hold space, or maybe that was part of the trauma. And so at that time space, like it was absolutely the path of least resistance. But now as we gain the wisdom and the knowledge and the practices and the safe space and the assistance, maybe a mentor or someone who, you know, is trauma informed, then we can actually go back and do a change history of that event and really allow that part to integrate back in with the whole. So it's not like frozen in that space. So whereas we're not eliciting those same patterns, because if you as a woman have like a pattern that the masculine isn't safe, not only is that pattern within the template of your own masculine, because we have both feminine and masculine polarities within us, that I truly believe like this is a big part that gets missed, is the reunification of our own masculine and our own feminine. Like this is the key to like that healthy, whole, healed template of a human. We love to look to others to give us all of these like external things, but I've just found in my own journey that really reunifying and healing my inner feminine and my inner masculine is just so crucial. So yeah, it just plays into like that, you know, if the masculine isn't safe, then we have this, like this polarity within us, and, you know, we're not able to, you know, move about in a way that we would want, because we have these programs running in the background of this trauma that hasn't been, healthily processed and digested in a way that is like safe. So I don't know. Did I touch on all the questions?
Yeah. I'm glad you.
Okay, I think I kind of went a little sideways too, but
yeah, I'm glad you brought the masculine feminine as well. That's something that we've talked about on the podcast before, and it's definitely something that I am actively working on, because, like you, I learned to put a masculine shield on to survive in the world, and I learned to control. I learned to stifle my femininity and my desire. I learned to exist in my head instead of in my body. And like, that was the way that I navigated myself through the world. Right. And a lot of those messages for me came primarily from, just growing up in the South in the evangelical Christian church, and, you know, there being a lot of shame around being a girl, having a female body, being a woman, needing to submit to men, like that whole patriarchal structure within that religious system, you know, really, really did a number on me and my own expression of femininity. And so the way that I was able to like bypass that for a long time was through, a protective masculine shield. But then that closed me off in so many ways, and it created this closure and this constriction in my life that I sort of organically have learned over the past few years that trauma is that it is a naturally constrictive, contracted state, right? Like non-expansive state. Healing is a naturally expansive state, and it allows more in and it lets more in, and there's not so much rigidity. And that's sort of like the divine masculine isn't necessarily rigid and closed off, but the masculine is, it's that part of me that doesn't have to control, because I know that like, I can just be, and in the being, like everything is just as it should be. And then the feminine is like the movement and the flow and, the things that I'm like, I don't know, but the feminine can be being as well. You know, I mean, it's, I'm still learning so much about unpacking masculine and feminine polarity. So I'm glad you brought it up. I guess the one thing that I didn't hear in your answer, and maybe you gave it and I just misinterpreted it, was like, how do you deal with people saying that your spiritual practice or spiritual awakening or whatever as a form of healing and nervous system work as well is like you're spiritually bypassing the bad things that happen to you, or maybe even the bad, quote unquote, bad, things that maybe you did to someone else, you know, the ways that you hurt other people. And it's like, do you just suddenly have this spiritual awakening and like magic, all of it goes away? Or was there a way that you held on to your spiritual practice and then also, you know, brought in like forgiveness for other people or forgiveness for yourself even, in a way that wasn't bypassing the real harm, you know, that was present. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Let me see if I
know answer. That's like a very, very deep question.
Yeah. So I will say like, it's one thing I want to say first is like everybody's awakening journey is so absolutely different. Right. And like the methods and the things that we use that we find, I've been checking myself even when I like even find, like, let's say I find something for me that I'm like, oh my gosh, this is so great. Like even, like not necessarily being like, hey, to, you know, everybody I know, hey, you got to check this out, because I think that the stuff that is meant to find us finds us when we're ready to learn. And I 100%. Found that to be just such a beautiful thing. And it might not be for them. It might just be for me. And so instead of like externalizing it, like, it's just like, okay, I'm just gonna, you know, see what this has for me. But let me see if I'm understanding like the bypassing question, because I feel that it's just, I've gone through phases to where I've kind of been in that energy where I'm like, okay, conscious creation, let's just focus on the positive and focus what I want to create. And it always seems as though, regardless of that, like, I think that there is like some power in that for sure. I think we are manifestors and we can consciously choose and create what it is we want to create. And really be intentional about it, because I think intention is also so powerful. But at the end of the day, what I found is when we have these like things inside of us, these programs and these patterns and the wounding and all these things, it's like, no matter what, like the universe is going to keep showing it to us. And so I've come to appreciate that. Like, that's why too, we don't have to like go in and, because doing, in my opinion, doing healing work can also be a form of bypassing, because it's like, we're just focusing, like when people are like, oh, I just got to do all this healing and I got to like focus on all this stuff and I'm broken. Like that is also, I feel, a detrimental structure and identity frame to be coming from, because first of all, you're not broken and you don't need to be fixed. So I want to make sure people know that, because they feel it's very important, because we're told all these things, all these lies. And so I don't subscribe to that for one second. And I found that, you know, the people, relationships and the people like that show up are always teaching me something. They're always giving me an opportunity to acknowledge the thing that is like my next level of acknowledgement. Like, for example, I last year went through a really, really, I think it takes the cake for Dark Night of the Soul, like round four, whatever, like it was massive. And this came from a relationship. And so a wound that I have been unraveling and, nurturing as far as like my own inner child is an abandonment wound that I had as a little girl. My parents divorced and my dad left. And so I have kept replaying out this pattern where men show up and then they like, I open up way too quickly and then they take off. And so it had a lot to do with, this was a lot of like inner masculine work for me. And so this particular situation, it was like a hard and fast, the soul connection was absolutely there. It felt like unlike anything I'd ever experienced. And I truly believe that the universe like gives us these things when we're ready to handle it. It was extremely painful as far as the stuff that it brought up inside of me. And so what I've learned to do is to look at these situations, even though it's really like messed up, like it sounds, these can be really messed up, but as a gift, so to speak, because this individual showed up and he was a catalyst for this healing and growth within me that wouldn't have happened if he hadn't showed up. As painful as it was, it allowed this pain that I had been carrying around to surface. And I now had the opportunity to move through it and to release it. And so I could choose something else because I didn't have to keep choosing that painful pattern, that cycle, that story that I was telling from when I was six. I've been telling the story for years. And so I've just found it to be such a thing as though I think also with the way the energies are in the world and on the planet in general, I feel that life is just in an accelerated pace, showing us these things. And we can either choose, because everybody's our own journeys, like that's all our own stuff. And we love to like, you know, I try to be really mindful about not going into victim mode and blaming. I mean, there were a few moments where I'm like, I wish I never would have met him, but, but it's that's my responsibility. Like my work is my responsibility. Right. And I don't obviously minimize any type of abuse because that's a whole different conversation, but I'm speaking to these patterns and these unconscious things that people are showing us. And so it allowed me to go deep into that next layer of that wounding and to really just allow that to release and just asking for the help from God, from the divine universe, God source universe, whatever word you use, to really be able to just like let that dissolve because it was up to the surface to dissolve. So did that answer the, yes. I don't know if I even answered the bypassing question.
I mean, yeah, it was a really, there was no right or wrong answer to the question for sure. I do love what you said about healing as a form of bypassing. And I would love to circle back to that. Cause that really like, it stuck out really strongly to me whenever you said that. And, I have definitely worked with clients and I've definitely felt this in myself where it's like, if I'm not doing some sort of healing work every single day, every single moment, if that's not part of my daily story, then something's wrong. Like if I'm not reading some kind of healing book, if I'm not working with a coach, if I'm not taking a course, if I'm not, you know, going out in nature every day with the intention of like healing by letting the trees talk to me or something, it's like, if I'm not doing something like that every day, then I'm not healing, then something's wrong. And I've gotten through that because in human design, I'm a projector. I don't know. Do you know anything about human design?
I am a generator. I'm not super well-versed on like the nuances of all the
me
other
neither.
Archetypes, but I'm just the gene keys. I found my way to the gene keys and I absolutely If this is like pinging in anyone's system listening, I would highly recommend taking a look. It's absolutely game changing.
Yeah. Yeah. I feel that way about human design, and I definitely don't know a lot about human design. I have a person who tells me what I need to know, you know, but I'm a projector in human design, and like projectors are not here to work all the time. Projectors are here to do a lot of rest and to do a lot of studying and to become experts at things. And then whenever the time is right and someone recognizes our expertise and they invite us to share and speak into their lives or teach them something, like that's when our magic really happens. It's not by like telling somebody our perspective or our observation. It's waiting to be asked, because in the asking, there's a recognition that we have wisdom. And so, but what I've, the part about being a projector, that I'm speaking to right now is that we're not supposed to be working all the time. Like projectors need a lot of time to rest. They need a lot of downtime, you know, business hours work-wise, like maybe 3-4 hours a day max. And so I finally realized that it didn't align with who I am, to be constantly needing to heal, because healing is work. And I can't be constantly working and turned on and doing the things all the freaking time. I actually need to find value in taking a step back from all of that and taking a break and resting from it and just living my life for a little while and having fun. And like, and those things are healing too, right? But that's more the integration part versus the learning part or the discovery part or whatever. I'm curious how that has played out for you and how you noticed maybe in yourself or in people that you've worked with, like how people use the healing work, I'm using air quotes there, as a form of bypassing, and it's really not serving them very well.
Yeah. I love that we're having this conversation, because it's another like template and conditioning, that has just been on this planet for so long, right? Around like how we just literally work our whole lives away. So it's like, wherever you go, there you are, right? So it's like, we can step out of like the whole, I call it modern day slavery, our societal systems in place, that the majority of people, where they wake up and they go to the 8 to 5, they're drained and they get a menial paycheck and they hate their lives and all that stuff. So, I feel that it is something, it's something again that we can just use to actually avoid, because I feel too, when it's like we're constantly just like booking healing calls with people or doing all this stuff, it's like we're actually, there's an avoidance there of like going into the heart of like really, really what it is that like we don't want to feel and see. It's another way, because to me, it's so powerful, like going into like those like wounds and those pockets of emotion that like we hold in our body. And it's just like another way that we perpetuate the cycle of like not actually being present. So it's not to say that it's like that, right? I hold space for clients and sessions, right? But I think it's, again, goes back to intention and us being really, really honest with ourselves on where we're at. Because I think sometimes it's like, we're so into the work, like air quotes again, work, that we don't actually like stop and have these pauses to actually experience being alive and allow like for the full unfolding of the integration and the surrender. Like that to me is what I'm learning, because I've been there too. I'll be completely honest. I went through phases where I was like, oh, I got to book this healing call and I got to do my shadow work and all this stuff. It's like, no, like it's going to show up when it's ready to show up. And then it's like that being in that natural flow, because what I found too, is it's like, we do live in a free will time space. We have free will, but there's also God's will. And to me, what God's will is it's allowing the divine, because we're a unique expression of source. We each have a unique frequency. We each have a unique thing we are here to bring to the planet. And so when the divine gets to basically come through us, like that I feel is just like where it's like game changing. And believe me, like, I know it's hard, especially coming from like, you know, the space where I wanted to just have that control, because the control felt safe, like knowing what's next. We as humans love to know the ending of the story, but there's actually beauty in trusting that there is a higher power and a greater power at play that does have our back, even though it doesn't feel like it, because if there's something painful showing up, it's an opportunity to maybe, and even just like pausing and sitting with it for 5 minutes would allow it to dissolve. Or we have the choice. We can choose to fight it. We can choose to blame somebody else. We can choose to avoid, we can choose to whatever, A, B, C, D. And I actually don't think there's anything that's necessarily right or wrong about either of those things. It's just, what do you want to experience? What are you choosing? And allowing that, like the emotions in that state of alignment and surrender to be your compass. Because I think that most of us, and probably if you're listening to this, you've had those bouts where you are in alignment and things just feel so flowy and so seamless. And so like, you're like, gosh, I don't even have to do anything. And beautiful stuff is happening. I truly believe that's like where we're headed, but I feel we're in a collective dark night of the soul right now as well. So it's manifesting at the collective space with all the stuff coming to the surface. Had to happen. It's a complete circus, but everything is bubbling up so that we can see where we've had all these distortions and we can choose something else as a collective. People are asking questions. People are not settling. People are saying, yeah, this is what I was choosing, but it doesn't feel good. So I'm not going to choose that anymore. And then it's also what's going on is it's happening at an individual level, because that's how we change things at the individual level. When we shift our internal and we shift ourselves, then our whole external reality changes. So it is, I mean, to circle back to like the whole work thing, like it is work. It is work. Like I've actually in the past been like, oh no, it doesn't have to be that hard. Like, no, like what I've been through in the last year, like it's not it for the faint of heart to really dive into some of this painful stuff. But once you kind of learn how it does shift your entire reality, it's like, once you know it, you can't undo it. And then for me, I wouldn't have it any other way. Like I just wouldn't. As painful as some of these bouts are.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. Like I'm so proud of the person I am today, and I would not be this person if it hadn't been for every single one of those hardships and hurtful things and hurtful people. And like, relationships that were only in my life for a season, but the season was to really teach me something. And yeah, I completely, completely agree with you. And as you were saying all of that about like working and the work, you know, the work in air quotes, which is really important, but sometimes the work looks like hiring a coach or a therapist or reading a book or taking a course. And I think those are like societally acceptable forms of the work. But sometimes the work also looks like waiting. Sometimes the work looks like, you know, not doing anything. Sometimes the work looks like putting everything down and sitting with whatever discomfort you feel inside of yourself without going, okay, I feel this discomfort inside of myself, but that must mean that I need to, you know, finish this book, or that must mean that I need to hire this coach, or that must mean that I need to do this or that. Like sometimes the healing is the active, you know, the active things, but sometimes healing is the act of actively waiting or actively doing nothing or actively just sitting with an uncomfortable feeling and knowing that you're going to be okay and you don't need to do anything else. That was part of my spiritual awakening, at least. Like I feel like I wouldn't say I've had one spiritual awakening. I've had multiple spiritual awakenings. Like, you know, every time it's a new awakening, it's a new thing. It's a new facet of myself. It's a new facet of the way God expresses through me. It's a new facet of like who I am authentically here to be. And it's like, I love what you said about for individuals, for the collective to heal, the individual work has to be done. And I've been saying that for 2 years now. It's just like, if we're going to heal the collective, it starts with individuals like choosing to heal and choosing awareness and choosing like faith and trust in something greater than themselves, even if they don't call that God, even if it's just their own soul, but like trusting that, you know, the universe really does have your back, and like knowing that you're not going to have to face anything that you're not actually ready to face. And whatever is coming up is what's ready to be healed in you. And not only is that going to affect you as an individual, but it's like throwing a pebble in a pond, right? Like the ripples, it ripples all the way out. And so there's literally nothing that you or I can do to heal ourselves that will not in some way impact the collective. And I think people really underestimate their own power of individual healing. And it becomes about, you know, what kind of activism do I need to be doing and what kind of causes do I need to be supporting and what kind of big things, right? And I'm not saying those things aren't important. They're totally important. But again, sometimes the healing work looks like being an activist and going to a protest and holding a sign. And sometimes it looks like staying home and like going internal and doing some introspection and like sitting with yourself or waiting or not doing anything. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. I think the most important thing that we can do at an individual level is going within, trusting our own selves, trusting the fact that you know what's best for you, even if all the chatter makes you feel like you don't, you do. And really tuning in and tapping into that inner freedom and inner sovereignty and just allowing like everything that's not that to unravel. Because it just, you know, even again, just with everything going on the planet, like it just, you know, the anchoring of the fear and the chaos and all these things, it's like those are low vibrational frequencies and really coming back to center and allowing for, again, coming back to like those pauses that we've kind of been mentioning. I feel they're just so crucial and so important because it's when we're pausing that we can actually receive the answers. It's like when we're like, if we're both trying to talk, like there's no point, right? So allowing for those pauses to receive, and then it comes down to, again, talking back that masculine and feminine. The feminine is all about receiving and on all about like being able to be in that state of flow and surrender. And so if you do have a lot of trauma, like these things can, you know, take a lot. They can take work. They can take some unraveling, but it's like, you don't have to necessarily look at it as the big picture. I like to say like, what is the thing that's showing up right now? Because we don't have to worry about all the other stuff, because then that is just, you know, that's how we like create anxiety, because we're so worried about the future, but we actually only have this here moment right now. So it's that going back to like that presence, because it's just something that we're not taught. It's not cultivated at a young age for us to be in our essence and our innocence. And that is like what it is to like be human and to like be able to start moving towards that like happy, healthy, whole, healed, whatever it is, and really learning what it is like for you specifically, because I think that we are all a piece of the puzzle. And so when someone is in their passion and has an, you know, living with an open heart and they're willing to see the things, like they're willing to see it, right? It doesn't have to be perfect. It's messy. It's completely messy. Like it can be so like painful, so messy, but when we're willing to just like be like a student of life and allow those things to unfold as they will and allow life to show up for us, it's like, we don't have to do it all on our own. And that's when we are trying to like, you know, the divine, like within us is so supportive in that way. And so it's really learning to like work with your own inner guidance system. Because I feel that that's another way we can give our power away. And the spiritual community is like the healers and the coaches, where it's like, oh, I need this person. Like, no, that should be an enhancement to like what you already have going on. I fell into that trap at the beginning of my spiritual awakening, whether it be like psychic readings or, you know, healers, where they were actually like siphoning my energy. And I didn't understand how these things work. And, so I also think it's very important to mention that it is another way that we can give our power away is healing.
Yeah. Yeah. And we outsource, you know, it's like, well, I don't have the answer. I have to hire this person. They have the answer. I need to talk to this psychic. I need to talk to this coach, this therapist, this energy healer, whatever. And it's not to say that it should all be alone. Like, I'm not at all saying like, don't ever talk to anyone. Everything is inside of you. It is. And also we heal in relationship. Yes. So like, yes, call in a coach, call in an energy healer, like call in a practitioner that you want. But I would say the energy that you bring to it is where the difference is between whether or not you're outsourcing your power, your knowing, your desire, how you think it's supposed to look, right? Like whether you're outsourcing it or whether it's coming from a grounded place where that person is part of your team and not necessarily your authority and like telling you what to do. Like it's the energy that you bring to it. If, if that resonates at all.
Totally. Yeah. I actually like, I feel like where we're headed, like I don't subscribe to gurus or hierarchy. Like I don't feel like that's where like our humanity is going. I think it's a bunch of crap. And I think that, you know, there are certain levels of, you know, we all bring different things to the table, but like, I think that's part of the reason we are having, like, we've kind of hit this wall, if you will, on where we're at is because of, you know, the exertion of power and authority and the hierarchies and the gurus. And, you know, it's just simply not true. It's just another conditioning program here in this matrix, if you will. So it's just like, it doesn't feel good. Right. You can even like tune into that field of energy. And it's just like, it just doesn't feel good.
Yeah.
It doesn't.
Yeah. And that doesn't mean that we can't, you know, learn from people. Like I definitely like learn from people. I don't call anyone my guru though. Like I learn from people, but at the end of the day, I am responsible for me. I am sovereign no matter what. If I never did another quote healing thing, like if I just stopped right here where I'm at and I never read another spiritual book or took another course or worked with a coach again, if I just like stopped, like that doesn't negate anything that I did up to that point. And it still doesn't make me like, you know, a bad person or an unhealed person or whatever. It's like knowing that you have the sovereignty, you always have the choice to keep going or not to keep going. And you don't need an external authority figure or someone that you perceive to be an authority figure, you know, telling you that that's where you get your worth from, or that's where you're, if you're not learning from them, then you're not learning. Like, and a lot of that comes from like, you know, being raised in the evangelical Christian church, like we were always taught that the pastor was the authority, the man was the authority, the Sunday school teacher was the authority, right? Like the author of the book was the authority, the person leading the Bible study was the authority. And as someone who was not the authority, it was like you always showed up and there was always that hierarchy there. And they were always kind of the person in charge. And like, it almost felt like you had to run everything by them in order for your own experience to feel valid or something. It was a very, very weird dynamic. And so I love that you're saying that like, no, like we're not doing that anymore. We're just not doing that anymore. Cause it exists in the church and it exists out of it, right? It exists in the spiritual world as well. And like, we get into danger with things like that. Like that's how cults start. And that's how like people start doing really weird things in the name of the person that they think is their guru or their spiritual teacher, when really they're just divorcing themselves from their own sovereignty because they've outsourced their power.
Absolutely. Yeah. And I was, I can relate because I grew up in a Christian home and went to Christian school through high school. And, I never drank the Kool-Aid. Like I always fought it. I always fought my mom on like going to church and stuff. And I would say like the connection and relationship I have with God now is like, I mean, I'm, you know, like it's my own personal relationship.
I feel so much more connected to God now than I ever did when I was in Christianity. It was like in Christianity, I was going through the motions and it was the most I knew how to do. And because everyone around me was doing the same thing, I just thought, oh, well, this is how you do it. This is how it is, you know? Yeah. But, yeah.
It's a separation template. So that's another like, kind of going back to the masculine and feminine energy and where I keep coming back to the, like how powerful this reunification is. Cause it's like the reunification of like mother, father, God, and like our own inner, feminine masculine energy. So my understanding and, you know, for all you listening, like just take what you leave or take what you,
what take resonates, what resonates and leave the rest.
Like I don't claim to, this is just the best I've come up with. Like these separation templates that have been infused into these teachings and into these hierarchical structures, are like that detrimental piece that is like dissolving and falling apart. And so, because it teaches this, creates this energetic of separation, teaches separation. We are not separate. You're not disconnected from it. You don't have to do anything to be able to access that. You don't, it's absolutely false. And so, it really, you know, and I, had a lot of things I had to work through in relation to my like resentment and anger to what I labeled as patriarchy. And I think it's just another to some degree, I feel it's just kind of another distraction because yes, is it absolutely a thing? Yes. But if we go back to like just healing those like wounds within us, it's just another, because I think that like they're actually on the planet right now. A lot of us women have been, you know, waking up and really rising up and all these things, but it got to come back into balance with our men, and our men are suffering as well. And yes. So there is a need. And so I believe this so deeply for these like men to be able to rise up into that more king archetype energy, because like a lot of them just don't know how to act anymore because society has like stripped that masculinity. And that's, you know, it's a whole nother podcast episode.
Oh my gosh.
On my thoughts on like all of that. I tend to get labeled a conspiracy theorist, but I mean, I do my
it's
own research.
It's not. No, it's not. Actually, I was meeting with a male client this morning, actually. And he was talking about how when he receives like notes, he's a teacher. So when he receives like notes of gratitude from students who are like, I love taking your class. It changed my life. Or I learned so much from you. Like, thank you so much or whatever. That in the past, when he's allowed himself to respond with like vulnerability and like to say how much that means to him, like it's been perceived that he's like some pervy creep. You know, and like in our session this morning, I was like, look, on behalf of women, I just want to apologize to you that your expression of vulnerability and emotion is culturally or societally perceived as like pervy creepiness, because that's now, because you've been perceived that way, like that's a wound that you now have that we're going to have to work together to heal, because you should be able to express your vulnerability and your emotion and your appreciation and gratitude and how it makes you feel when somebody tells you that they're grateful for you. Like, you should be able to express that and not have to hold it in. But our culture has taught you that you have to hold it in, because if you let it out, then there's something wrong with you. And I mean, I've said it on this podcast before, I'll say it again. I'm like actively looking for someone to interview about this right now, that like straight white men need just as much, if not more, healing as the rest of us. Period. Yeah. That is my own feeling about it, is like healing is, it can't just be for a certain group of people. It has to be for everyone. And yeah. I think, and it has to start with the people that we think are the greatest perpetrators of harm, which is like straight white men, right? Like everybody is like against straight white men right now. And I'm just like, no, this doesn't resonate. We can't deny them access to this healing. They deserve it just as much as the rest of us do. And I think it's a system, like it's like the reverse of like patriarchy. It's like, this is not how we take down patriarchy. Like shaming men is not how we take down patriarchy, right?
Yeah. To me, shaming men is like super unacceptable. And I think that it is about bringing some awareness to these things in general, because again, it just going back to what has continued to ensue on this planet is, it's just separation everywhere you look, right? Political parties, separation, the status of your vaccination, separation. It's yeah. all separation, because yeah. if you have a divided people, this can get really esoteric, because
you can control them. You can control yep. people that are divided. Yep. Yes.
Because the 1% of the people that run this planet and have run this planet for years, this is how they keep their power. This is how they continue to run the planet, is by dividing, pitting people against each other, and creating these, you know, to some degree, it's like stripping the humanity as much as possible. Because if we're in our hearts and we're in that space of love, and we've done our inner work and we love ourselves, and we're able to allow and give from that excess, like that solves a lot of the shit going on the planet. So yeah. it's like but that doesn't work for this group of people.
No, no, they have to continue creating separation and the illusion of separation. They're creating an illusion. It's not real. Have you read The More Beautiful World Our Hearts Know Is Possible by Charles Eisenstein?
I have not.
You should read it. Like he talks okay. all about it, that like we've been in an age of separation and we're slowly transitioning into an age of inner being and inner, like I-N-T-E-R being, because the separation is not working because it's all been an illusion. And we think that we're disconnected from each other, from the planet, from nature. We think that our actions don't have impact on other people or on the planet, or on the animals. And like, it's just not true. Like what you do to yourself, you do to every person and every other being on the planet. And like, it, again, that pond, that ripple effect. Right. Yeah. So yeah,
highly recommend. Hard one for people. I'll admit that's a challenge for me. And I've been kind of navigating that actually. I'm glad you bring it up. Cause it's like, if we're all connected, if everything is energy, then it's like, well, instead of looking at it is how are we different? Like, how are we the same? Like, how am I that? Like, I think that there's a whole, what is it? The Moses code. I believe it's the Moses code where it's like, I am that I am. Like, I am that I am that. Like, it's like, since we are all connected and everything is intertwined, instead of like kicking someone while they're down or, you know, looking at it as like, oh, this person's like blatantly different from me. Because those are, again, the separation, the agendas. But if we heal that within ourselves and we bring that mindfulness and that, awareness to when we actually, I found for me that when I feel those, like, cause we can, everybody feels intuition differently, but I think for the most part, like there is some sort of continuity around like our physical bodies and being able to feel things in the body, even if it's subtle. So like when we have those pings and those things come up where we can call it an activation or a trigger and we pause and we just like acknowledge it, that actually can start to neutralize the charge. It can just start to dissolve the attachment, and it doesn't allow for that unconscious story or pattern to keep playing out, because you've literally just, you've just neutralized it. You've just acknowledged it. Yeah. And where there's acknowledgement, there's an opportunity and a choice to choose something differently.
Yes. Yes. That is completely what I talk about in my work all the time, is just like awareness is 90% of the battle. And once you're in that state of awareness, then you can make a conscious choice where you were having an unconscious reaction before. Like you can change and you can make a conscious choice, and then, you know, you can't unknow it at that point. So once you become aware of a pattern that you have or a state of conditioning that you have or a habit or whatever, like you become aware of it, you can't unknow it after that. So if it continues, then it is your conscious choice to continue it. If it doesn't continue, then it's because you made a conscious choice to change and do something differently. So yes, that resonates so much. So I want to be really respectful of your time, and we've been going for almost an hour, but before we wrap up, this kind of has nothing to do with what we've been talking about with like separation and all of that, but I still want to get to the question. And that is like, can you help me and my listeners understand like the Kundalini awakening? Because I feel like it's this very like fancy yoga term that I don't really understand. And I've watched several YouTube videos about it, and it seems very, I don't know, weird to me or something. So what is a Kundalini awakening, and how does one have a Kundalini awakening?
I love it, cause I'm not a big technical person. So maybe I can, explain it in a very digestible way.
Okay.
And perfect. Again, this is completely just in my experience and my humble opinion on what I've experienced in relation to Kundalini awakening. As humans, I want to kind of preface this, like we love to label stuff, right? Like we could be talking about the same thing and we have like different labels and we're like, no, that's not it, but it's the same damn thing.
Totally. So, totally.
So my, how I would describe a Kundalini awakening is, so we have energy centers in our body, and, we have chakra systems, we have meridians, and energy is supposed to flow through the meridians. Like it's chi, life force, energy is supposed to be flowing in the body. And so how I would explain a Kundalini awakening is kind of what kicked mine off when I had this, when I had that breakup I mentioned at the beginning, this release of energy in my body. And so I found that it could be a couple different things, but it's this life force energy that is like waking up like the density in your body. Like it is starting it. People describe it as like kind of starting from the base of the spine, like the lower chakras, and working its way up from like the base into the crown, because really ideally we want energy to be flowing through the body to where, like for me now, I don't know if you have the same experience, but I feel energy moving in my body. I can move energy in my body. I can tune it into certain spaces. And if I feel density, or if I feel that I need to like balance my chakras and move things so that it's flowing properly. But the Kundalini awakening, I would say, is kind of like that initial, like I would tie it a lot of times to that initial dark night of the soul, to where this energy is waking up and it's starting to purge and release that dark, dense energy in your being. And it can be a different experience for each individual person. Like, for example, some people may experience more emotional purges. Some people may experience more physical purges and physical sickness type energy. Like for me, it's been a lot of emotional. This last one that I had was a lot of physical. So I got to the point where I was like feeling a lot going on in my heart, and it felt like I had a knife in the back of my heart. And so there was just energy moving and releasing like that wound and that pain, because we were again, going back to how powerful we are. Like we can shift these things in our body and we can activate our own inner healer, like our own ability to like really tune into these things and allow it. So I would say Kundalini awakening too is something that it's like, for me, it was kind of like spontaneous. Like I didn't have any say so over this. Like the universe was like, okay, like you're literally going to be like going through this process of like dark night of the soul and acknowledging this stuff, because the, like, as we continue to raise our vibration, because I do feel like we think of ascension as like moving up. To me, ascension is kind of like that inner job. But when we raise our vibration, that is just releasing like that density, because for example, like the vibration of love and the energy of love vibrates at a higher frequency than shame or guilt. Like those are some of the lowest vibrational energies in our planet. So when we have this, if you think of like, for example, like a table and it has sand on it and it starts to like vibrate in the sand, the density just starts to shake off. Mm-hmm. Like as more light comes in, like the density, like can't sustain, like it just has to go. And so I have just, it goes in cycles, cause there's like an integration period too, to where, for me, when I have these experiences, oftentimes it'll go, you know, it'll feel really dense and it'll feel like a part of me is dying. And so there's another identity piece I feel that gets tied into this. But going kind of back to what I had mentioned around like those part personalities at the beginning, where we want that one mono personality. And so oftentimes these energies feel like death, because that old identity structure has to die in order for you to be able to step into who you really are, that higher self, embodying your full essence, like all these like archetypes and stories and things, because those are a form of energy as well. So that's another thing that can kind of be tied up into it. I mean, we could go like so many different directions and so in depth on some of these things, but I would say that's just kind of like a very condensed version of what one may experience. And I'll add this as well, because initially, like, it's like, if you don't know what's happening, like you're like you can actually kind of go into like a mode where you're like, do I need to go to the ER? Because it is just a, it's not like a commonly talked about thing. And it can be like, it can feel like, for example, when I had that heart stuff go on, like if I didn't know what was going on, like I probably would have thought it was like having a heart attack or something. Cause there were like, there was like pain and palpitations and things, but I knew what was happening.
How did you know?
I've just come to like understand my body and this process. And I really have learned that like stepping into that energy of surrender and trust with just allowing the process rather than fighting it, because every time I fought it, like it just doesn't, where if I'm like, oh gosh, I don't want to go through another one of these, like it just doesn't ever work out well for me. So yeah, I learned to just let it happen. And, you know, the last period where I went through some stuff, like I took like a couple weeks to where I just took care of myself. I didn't take on, you know, I wasn't able to show up for clients and things, because it was just so I was all in my healing. I was all mm-hmm. in the release. And I just was like, okay, I'm just going to allow it, because another piece of this is actually a biological, like physiological, chemical thing that's going on in our bodies. And so I've found, and I've learned, that it's very important to allow the process, because the thing is you're energetically, your cells are changing, your DNA is changing. And so when we try to put the brakes on this process, it stops the whole chemical process that's going on in the body, because we're, when we're not wanting to like allow it. So I found it to be super important to just allow the space for this to come through in whatever way it's meant to come through. And then one thing I'll just add too is that, you know, like, let's say we're physically sick, like we're told to like stay home and nurture ourselves and have lots of soup and, you know, whatever it is. But it's like, when it comes to like these emotional purges and these emotional things that come up, it's like a completely different story. And I'd like to offer that we change the paradigm and things on that, that when we have these trauma patterns come up and we have like inner child healing or emotions come up, to treat ourselves in the same way we would treat ourselves mm-hmm. if we're physically sick.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so important. And just to speak to what you're saying about vibrations and frequencies of different, like love is different from shame or fear or whatever. I learned a lot about the vibrations of different emotions in David Hawkins' book, Letting Go. Is that
I have a power versus force. That's the one I have.
Okay. Yeah. So mine was letting go. Yeah. Yeah. Letting go is a really good one. And it actually has like a chart in there that has the different emotions and then their vibrational frequencies, and it, you know, like shame, apathy, going all the way up into like fear, and then like peace and love. And actually, I think peace is higher than love, or joy is higher than love. I can't remember. I haven't looked at it in a couple of years, but, yeah, well, that's so amazing. Thank you for sharing all of this. And just a quick question for the very end. What are some of your, you mentioned breath work already. I'm just curious what some of your other favorite, spiritual practices / nervous system practices are.
Yeah. I love it. I'll give a couple that, that people can kind of like do on their own, because I feel like that's important too. Yeah. Breath work is become important for me, as well as kind of more like somatic practices. So, when there is like something bubbling up, or, you know, I'm feeling like activated or triggered, like just pausing and just like either just breathing and allowing, or I'll tune into like, okay, where do I feel this in my body? Like, how can I be present with what is showing up right now? And so, I've found that to be very helpful. And then I also teach yin yoga. So I find that to be helpful. I actually infuse energy healing into yoga. So really getting to where, cause yin yoga is all about like opening the tissues of the body. And so then like flushing that out. So I would offer to, it's just, there's no one size fits all. And like one modality or one approach may work on Monday, whereas Wednesday, your body's asking for something else. And so really getting to know yourself and your body on what it's asking for, like what you in this moment need and what's showing up right now for you to do in this very moment, because that may be something like meditating, taking a nap, going outside, like going to the gym, or, you know, whatever it is. But I've found that it's like, in those subtleties of the pauses, again, going back to how powerful it is, like we allow that space for the response, and mm-hmm. and that just like opens it up. Because let's say that, you know, you actually take that pause and you literally avoid doing something that's going to make you more tired or more sick or more triggered. Like when you can just take that pause and really just be like, okay, I acknowledge this, I feel this. And then also like asking for help too, like from like your own source connection, like, I don't really know exactly what I'm supposed to do. Maybe that means I'm supposed to do nothing. Like I mm-hmm. would love some help with this. Mm-hmm. And then sometimes that in and of itself dissolves it also.
Yeah. Yeah. And again, going back to what I said earlier about how sometimes the healing work is hiring the coach or the therapist yeah. or taking the course, but sometimes the healing work is waiting. Sometimes it's not doing anything. Sometimes it's just feeling that sensation in your body and, you know, just honoring it, whether you know where it's coming from or what it means or not, you're just like honoring and feeling it. And you're like, body, you're talking to me. And this is how I listen, is by feeling what you're doing, you know, and like it being okay and not trying to reject it. So I love that so much. So will you please tell my listeners how they can find you, follow you, all the things?
Yeah, of course. So my website is just my name and just AmandaMonier.com. And I do have Instagram and Facebook. I have a free Facebook group and offer some support there, some like freebies on my website and stuff as well. And so my door is always open. If you have any questions, like feel free to reach out, email me, shoot me a message. Like,
and you have a podcast as well, right?
I do. Yes.
So what's your podcast called?
Am I allowed to say cuss words on here?
Of course.
Okay. I didn't know. Yes. It's called Upleveled as Fuck. So
perfect. Yeah. I love it. All right. Well, we're going to link to all of that in the show notes of this episode. So thank you so much for being here and for sharing about spiritual awakening with me.
Awesome. Thank you so much, Lindsay, for having me. This has been so much fun.